We are Bezim et Aleph. Just by way of introduction to Chulin, you already saw the sheet I gave out last week with the introduction. For anyone who needs it, you can email me and I can email it back to you. The Meiri writes in his introduction to Chulin that it used to be they would combine Chulin with Seder Moed in the Gemara. They would publish the Gemaras with Chulin as part of Seder Moed. Can you guess why? Because no one ever learned anything other than Moed Nashim Nezikin. And Chulin has things you need to know. You need to know about Shechita, Osoves Beno, Shiloh Hakan, various mitzvahs that are very practical. So therefore, the publishers put Chulin into Seder Moed to make sure people would learn Seder Chulin. And they put it in Moed Davka, because Nashim and Nezikin are things that require community. Nashim requires a man and a woman, at least if you're not in New York State. Nashim requires witnesses and all of that. Nezikin requires a litigant and a Beis Din. So it requires other people. Whereas Chulin is stuff you can do yourself, and so is Seder Moed. So the publishers used to put Chulin in Seder Moed. That was one thing by introduction. Also, Reb Tzadok HaKohen has a work called Eis HaOchel, Eis like Ayin Tav, the time that you eat. And he says that Chulin is put into Kachim because meat is mutter only for somebody who makes his Shulchan like a Mizbeach. You have to make your shulchan like a mizbeach in terms of the kedusha of what you do when you're eating, in terms of learning divrei Torah while you eat. So therefore, chulin, which is all about your own eating, really doesn't belong in kachim. Is put in kachim as a reminder of that. So our focus for this first perek, as I put on that introductory sheet, is the shochet, the knife, and the act of shechita. If you want to look up additional sources on them, in Devarim Perek Yud Beis Pesukim Yud Gimel Tchaf Aleph, that's our source for shechita. The Rambam in Hilchos Shechita, his first four prakim associate with this with the issues discussed in this perek, and the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Simanim Aleph to Yud Gimel and Simanim Yud Zayin to Chav Zayin. Those are where you want to look to find the halachas that relate to this. So the Mishnah begins, Hakol shochtim, everybody shechts. Ushchitas and kshera, and the shchita is kosher. And you know you're running into trouble. As soon as the Mishnah says, Hakol, everybody, the next question is, okay, so who's not everybody? The chutz mecheresh shota v'katan, except for the cheresh, the shota, and the katan, shema yikalkalu ashchitasan, lest they corrupt their shchita. Note, this is not an issue of das. It's not an issue of how intelligent they are. The issue is that they may make a mistake in the shechita and no one is going to know. Side margin, they give you another addition, bishchitasan. V'chulin sheshachtu v'achirim ro'anosan shechitasan k'shera. And since our concern is not das, our concern is getting the act right, therefore, if they shecht and other people see them shecht and everybody knows that it was done right, shechitasan k'shera. The shechita is 100% kosher. That's our beginning. Tosas has a very interesting discussion here, Hakol Shochtin, about women as Shochtim. And he quotes a sefer that likely doesn't exist. The sefer he quotes, he writes, Kasuv behilchos eretz Yisrael, de nashim lo yishchat, whom nesha daitan kalos. Women can't shecht because daitan kalos. What in the world does daitan kalos have to do with anything? The Gemara is going to talk about women not shechting as a concern that they might faint at the sight of blood. Which is always fascinating, because frankly women are more familiar with blood than men are. The Prima Gadim has a suggestion that maybe that there's a Lifnei Iver issue, that they might make a mistake and then they don't want to tell you because you're going to get angry and all that. But generally the assumption is that Hilchos Eretz Yisrael isn't halacha anyway. Right, so that's what he's right. So he's getting that from the Mordechai. The Mordechai comments here that this is actually written by Eldad Hadani. Eldad Hadani is a funny person. Because Rabbeinu Baruch says, I saw this in Hilchos Shechita quoted by Rabbi Eldad ben Machli Habame Aseres Hashvatim. He's an explorer who comes back to tell us about the 10 tribes. And in fact, it's not Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. Someone made a mistake when they broke down the Rashi Tevos Aleph Yud. It's Amar Yehoshua. Because the Sefer begins, Amar Yehoshua mipi Moshe mipi Agavura. And it goes on to give us all sorts of interesting laws about Shechita that are not practical, that are not, they're not halacha at all. It's just someone saying it. But that doesn't make it halacha. There's some discussion, was this written by Karaim perhaps? But no, we don't actually follow this odd sefer of Eldad Hadani. And Tosus himself makes that point and says women may indeed be shochtos. He says women are allowed to shecht. And if you'll ask me, he says, well, then why didn't our Mishnah say like we do by Temura? It says hakol mamirin echad anashim vechad anashim. It should say everybody shechts echad anashim vechad anashim. Why doesn't it do that? He says because, and we saw this in the end of Menachos, that the by Temura the Torah actually words its instructions regarding Temura in the masculine, and therefore you need to say women can do it too. However, there is no gender-based pronoun in the Torah regarding shechita, and therefore there's no reason to assume that it would only be males. The rule is, Tosfos says, women could shecht as well. Okay, this is an interesting side note. Our Mishnah doesn't go into the discussion at all. Our Mishnah confines itself to discussing Chereshota v'Katan. So we don't want the Chereshota and Katan shechting, lest it go bad and no one is going to know the difference. So the Gemara is bothered, though, by the language here, because the Mishnah's language of Hakol Shochtin sounds like Lechatchila, anybody may shecht. Then it says, Ushchitas and Kshera, their Shchita is Kasher. You don't need those words once you say Hakol Shochtim. What are you adding by saying their Shchita is Kasher? It sounds like B'dieved, after the fact the Shchita is going to be okay. Then, alright, if you did it, it's fine. And especially when you get to the end of our Mishnah, which says, V'kulan Sheshachtu, if they Shechted and others saw them, then it's going to be Kasher. Which is for sure a B'dieved language. That's not a we send them off to do shechita. That's if you shechted and other people saw you, then it's okay. So is our Mishnah talking lechatchila? Is our Mishnah talking B'dieved? How do we understand this? Hakol shochtin, everybody may shecht. The Gemara begins lechatchila. The Bach takes out the word lechatchila, but it's true. Hakol shochtin sounds like it's lechatchila. Ushchitas and kshera dieved. Shchitas and kshera sounds like it's b'dieved. Well, if they did it, it's kosher. So how do I understand that? Amar le Rav Achla b'reid derava le Rav Ashi. So Rav Achla b'reid derava says to Rav Ashi, v'chol hakol lechatchila. You assume that the language of hakol is lechatchila. La dafka hakol may not be lechatchila. And what we're going to see now are two cases in which hakol is b'dieved, and then three cases in which hakol is lechatchila. The ela me'ata hakol memirin, the temura case in which we say everybody can do temura, meaning everybody's temura is effective. Echad ha'anashim ve'echad ha'anashim, whether male or female. Hachinami de lechatchila. Are you going to tell me that's lechatchila? That everybody does temura. This is lechatchila. Everybody, run out and do temura now. You haven't done it yet in your lifetime. This is an important mitzvah to do. V'aksiv lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiroso tov v'rao rabatov. What do you mean? It's an iser de'oraisa. You're not allowed to do temura. They're only saying that if you did it, the temura is effective in the sense that the new animal is now kodesh as well. Temura is substituting another animal for a karban. You're not allowed to do that. So that shows that Hakol, in fact, is not lechatchila, go out and do this. To which the Gemara says, lav davka. Maybe that's not indicative of what Hakol means in general. That's unique to that Mishnah, because after all, it comes with a qualifier there. Hasam kedik sani taima. It's actually, the Mishnah itself explains, lo shal adam rashe lahamir. Not that you're allowed to do this, to do temura, to do the substitution for a karban. Elashim heimir, but if one did it, mumar, it is done, the temura is effective, the sophic is harbam, and the person who does it gets lashes. So the Mishnah there itself tells me that hakol is not like other hakols. That hakol is b'dieved, but hakol in general is lechatchila. Ella, so the Gemara asks, well, alright, what about this one? Hakol ma'arichin v'ne'arachin and nodrin v'nidarin. In the beginning of Erchin, where we talk about dedicating a person's erech of value to the Beis HaMikdash, it says everybody can do erech of somebody else, or can have their erech pledged. Everybody can vow to bring his value, as in his market value, to the Beis HaMikdash, v'nidarin, or can have his value vowed to the Beis HaMikdash. End of quote. So hachinami de lechatchila, you're going to tell me hakol there is lechatchila, that this is also something that anybody would do. What are you talking about? The pasuk says that when you don't vow anymore, you won't have any sin, indicating that vowing is actually considered sinful. And another pasuk. First, we start with the chumash, and then we proceed from chumash to divrei kabbalah to ksuvim. Tov asher lo tidor, misha tidor velo tishalem. Better not to vow than to vow and fail to fulfill it. Vitanya, and I have a brisa that goes even further. We'll come back to their source in a moment, but the Brisa says, Tov mize umize, better than vowing and not fulfilling, and better than vowing and fulfilling, is She'eno noder koliker diver Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, even better than vowing and fulfilling your vow is not to vow at all. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer told me zeh umizeh. No, there were mishalim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, it's best to vow and fulfill. But Rabbi Meir says, even if you're going to fulfill it, it's better not to vow. And even Rabbi Yehuda did not like vowing. When Rabbi Yehuda said the best vow is the one that you fulfill, the best way to do it is to vow and fulfill, even he only said that, Eleba Omer Harezu, what you did in Adava. Remember we discussed this just yesterday in terms of Menachas Kuftes Amud Beis. He says it's better to do a Nadava. That was the first version of Rabbi Yeshua ben Parcha's comment. Was to say that if somebody were to take a neder saying Harei Alai, he would put him in front of a lion. That was the line. Remember the difference between neder and nedava? A neder is where a person says an open-ended obligation. He says, I am obligated to bring a chatas, an ola, a shlamim. The idea being that if something happens to the particular animal I have in mind, my obligation remains, and now I have to bring a new one. That's a much more open-ended obligation. That's a manachos. That's terrible. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't like that. Rabbi Yehuda likes a nedava. If a person says harezu, he says he's going to bring this animal as a korban or this money as tzedakah, such that if something happens to it, his obligation terminates. Aval top of beis amid beis, aval amar hare olai lo. But if a person says hare olai, that's not. Rabbi Yehuda will not approve of that. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't like that. And in fact, as Rashi points out, you should read Rabbi Yehuda not as noder umishalem, but nodev umishalem, as the Gemara in Nedarim corrects it. So therefore, hakol, when you say everybody does, that doesn't mean lachatchila, because then you would be telling me lachatchila to take vows. Parenthetically on this, how does Rabbi Meir get the idea that it's better not to vow than to vow and fulfill? The psukim that we mentioned didn't say that. So Rashi says that it's from the language of Eis Asher Tidor Shalem. If you see Rashi, Tov Mizeh Umizeh, seven lines up from the bottom, on Beis Amud Aleph, he says, Tov Mizeh Umizeh, Minoder Umishalim, Minoder Ve'enu Mishalim, She'enu Noder Kol Iker. Someone who doesn't vow at all, Sharagil Benidarim Bali De Lo Yachil Devaro, because a person who vows will violate Lo Yachil Devaro. I wanted to go to the Rashi above that. Tova Sherlo Tidor was the one I wanted. Tova Sherlo Tidor. Le'el Mine, right before that in Koheles, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Eis Asher Tidor Shalem. That which you vow, pay up. Vafilu Hachi, and then it says, Tova Sherlo Tidor, better not to vow, Shema Tidor Velo Tishalim, lest you vow and not fulfill it. So it says, that which you vow, pay, and better not to vow. So Rashi says, that's where Rabbi Meir got to the idea that it's really best, even better than vowing and paying, is not vowing at all. That's Rabbi Meir, as Rashi understands it. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says the way you get it is because the pasuk says Tov Asher Lo Tidor Misha Tidor, better not to vow than to vow, and then you have extra words in the pasuk Velo Tishalem, which indicate that Misha Tidor was where you do pay. So Tov Asher Lo Tidor, better not to vow than Misha Tidor and pay. That's the way Tosfos renders it, breaking up the psukim in parts.
So how does he explain the Meir?
No, that is Rabbi Ereshita. In other words, Tova Sherlo Tidor, Misha Tidor and Pei. And then Velo Tishalim is the end of the pasuk that's separate. Because otherwise I wouldn't have needed the words Velo Tishalim. I don't want to spend too much time on that because there are other things you need to see. But that, take a look at Tosus for more. But Tosus asks two critical questions. The Gemara is going to explain to us when we talk about how you know the laws of Shechita, that in fact Shechita of Chulin only begins once the Jews enter Eretz Yisrael. If you look at those psukim I referenced earlier, it's explicit in the Torah. Shechita of Chulin only begins when you enter Israel. When the Jews are in the Midbar, when they're out in the wilderness, the only time you shecht is a Karban Shlamim, if you were going to bring a Karban Shlamim. Well, Karban Shlamim is something you bring by neder. So Tosfos asks on Beis Amid Beis, Tosfos Aval Amar, he says, how are you eating your Shlamim in the Midbar? How are you eating any meat in the Midbar? You can't take vows. So Tosfos answers, at that point, it's like having a mitzvah to do it. At that stage, it's like having a mitzvah to do it. Actually, no, it's Tosfos, I'm sorry, at the bottom of Beis Amid Aleph, Tov Mizeh Umizeh. Is where he discusses Rabbi Meir's view. But Tosfos says the answer. No, this part of it, the Shlamim is on Beis Amid Beis. But he says that's number one. Then number two, he says, how does it that Yaakov Avinu makes a neder, and how is it that Yonah makes his neder? Nederaya Shalema, I'm going to fulfill my vows. So he says vowing in an Eis Sarah is different. If a person is in danger and he wants to pledge to Hashem that he's going to do something if Hashem saves him from danger, that's a different story. And from there we learn that we're supposed to do it. The Medrash Rabbah on Yaakov, it says, Vayidar Yaakov neder lemor. So the Medrash says that teaches us that we do it that we do it as well. That a person who is in Eis Tzara is supposed to vow, and that's considered not only okay but even something laudable. So there are times when one does take a neder. In any case, going back to our point here, our main point. According to Rabbi Meir, not. However, Tosa says Rabbi Meir is not referring to the Yaakov and Yonah situation. Or the case in the Midbar. You'll have to take that out as well. Our attempt was to say that the word Hakol, sounds like it means Bidyeved here, in this case. Because you use the word Hakol to refer to Nadarim, to taking vows. That's a Bidyeved thing. So, Hakol seems to be Bidyeved. Now we come back with three cases in which Hakol is Lechatchila. The top line on Beis Amidbeis. V'chol Hakol lav Lechatchila hu. The word Hakol is not Lechatchila. Ela Hakol Chayav B'Sukka. Huh? What do you do with that one? Hakol Chayav B'Sukka is Lechatchila. You're supposed to build a Sukkah. Hakol chayav mitzitzis. You're supposed to wear tzitzis. Hachinami delav lechatchila. You're going to tell me those aren't lechatchila hakols? Of course they're lechatchila. To which he says, well, chayav and lo ka'amina. Hakol chayav is a different story. It's not hakol shocht and everyone has the right to shecht. It's hakol chayav and everyone is obligated. When you say hakol chayav and everybody agrees that's a lechatchila, but that won't prove anything for our Mishnah. Elamayata, so I'll bring you another one. Hakol somchin, everybody does smicha. Talking about smicha of karbanos, Rashi reminds us that that means to include a yoresh, an heir, that he does smicha on a karban that he inherited. And that's certainly a lechatchila. Echad ha'anashim, ve'echad ha'anashim, men and women, they note in the margin, this is actually a problem because the original source did not say women as well. We know that women are somchos rishus. Right, they do smicha on the karbanos as a rishus, not as an obligation. So he says, "Hachinami delav lechatchila." You're going to tell me that's not lechatchila. The smicha is not a lechatchila. V'aksiv v'samach yadov v'nirtza. The pasuk says, "Do smicha, and your karban will be acceptable." That's a lechatchila. So our problem again is the language in our Mishnah waffles. It starts out hakol shochtin, everybody shechts, which sounds like lechatchila, and then it says, "But if they shecht, the shechita is kosher," which is b'di'evid language. So how do I understand that? I think I've proved that at least in some cases Hakol is Lechatchila. If not in every case, we haven't been able to prove every case. So he says, you're right. Ika Hakol Lechatchila. V'ika Hakol Di'eved. Sometimes Hakol is Lechatchila. Sometimes it's B'di'eved. It's not an ultimate predictor of whether your line is Lechatchila or B'di'eved. Ela Hakol Dehacha. Mimayda Lechatchila Hu Detikshilach. So good. So how do you know our Hakol here is Lechatchila? That you have such a problem with the language. Dilma, perhaps Di'eved Hu. Maybe it's B'di'eved of a low Tikshilach, and then you won't have any problem. Amar Leh, to which he replies, he, by the way, is Rav Ashi. If you've been tracing this machlokas back and forth, this question and answer, it's Rav Ashi. And Tosfos uses the fact that Rav Ashi here is narrating the sugya as an opportunity to remind us that Rav Ashi is the canonizer of the Gemara. So he is the anonymous narrator here. His name has disappeared, but he's narrating the sugya. So his answer is, the answer that Rav Ashi presents is, Ana shchitasin kshera kashili. My problem is the words shchitasin kshera. The midiksani shchitasin kshera, saying shchitasin kshera, that sounds like the Evid. Michlal da hakol lechatchilahu. That is of itself, the fact that you need to say shchitasin kshera means that the preceding words, hakol shochtin, were lechatchila. The idiyaved, because if these words were bidiyaved, tarti diyaved lamali, why would you need two bidiyaveds? In other words, if hakol shochtin meant anybody who shechts fine bidiyaved, it's okay, you wouldn't need to say and their shechita is kasher bidiyaved. It must mean, what must be going on, is that there is a case you want to include with your bidiyaved that wasn't included in hakol shochtin. There must be some people whose shechita is kasher lechatchila, and some people whose shechita is kasher only bidiyeved. And so my question to you is, what did you want to include with the bidiyeved? That's what we want to know. And the Gemara is going to provide us with four different answers, only one of which we will see today. But that's the way to understand our Mishnah. Hakol shochtin, everybody shecht, normal people, shecht even lechatchila, then there's a case that's kasher b'di'eved, which I would have thought wouldn't be good at all, but in fact it's kasher b'di'eved. And here's how we're going to break it down. First one, Amar Rabba Bar Ula. Rabba Bar Ula says, here's my explanation. Hachi Ketani, this is the way it is written, this is the way to learn it in our Mishnah. Hakol Shochtin, by the way, for anyone who's going to leave early for the 6:30, just to tell you, tomorrow I'm going to have to give an accelerated daf. I have to make it down to a bris at Shomrei Shabbos at a 6:45 minyan. So tomorrow is going to be like a Rosh Chodesh daf, unless someone wants to substitute and then take it over for tomorrow. Okay, then that's the way it has to be.
Why don't we start important?
Because a lot of people will have their heads on their pillows at that point. It makes Shechita easier. So Rabba Bar Ula says, Hachi Ketani, this is the way to read it. Hakol Shochtin, everybody shechts, that's Lechatchila. Okay? Va'afilu, and here's the B'di'eved, even Tamei B'chulin. Even someone who is Tamei, and he shechts Chulin. So he says, Tamei B'chulin Ma'ila Memra. Why is that novel? Of course a Tamei person could shecht Chulin. What happens if Chulin becomes Tamei? Garnished. There's nothing wrong with Chulin becoming Tamei. Tosus points out there actually is a gezerah not to make Chulin a Tamei, but that's produce, because you're going to have to separate Truma. We don't want to contaminate the Truma. So what are we talking about? B'chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. We're talking about Chulin that was prepared with a level of Tahara, like Kudshim. So the rule is, someone who is Tamei may still shecht it. Yes, we're still in the Chatzchila stage. Ukasavar, and what he's saying is, well, sort of, you'll see. Ukasavar, what he's saying is, Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKodesh KeKodesh Damu. If you're preparing them on the level of Kudshim, we treat them like Kudshim, and therefore we shouldn't have a Tamei person do it. Ketzaduosa, so what does he do? Mevi Sakin Arucha Veshochetba. He brings a long knife, Sakin Arucha. He brings a nice long knife, and he uses that for a Shechita. Kadesh Lo Yigab Abasar, so that he won't touch the meat. There are problems with this. We're going to see the problems. So hang in there. If you're wondering about the knife communicating the tumah, the Gemara is going to ask that question. But the idea is, you use a long knife. Uvmugdashin lo yishchot, but he should not shech kachim. Shema yiga babasar. Lest he touch the meat. That's my concern, is don't have him do it. Don't have him do it for kachim. And this is my where lechatchila b'di'eved comes in. Lechatchila he can do chulin. However, don't have him do kachim. Shema yiga babasar, lest he touch the meat. V'im shachat, now our b'di'eved line, if he shechted kudshim, right? The Omer, and he says, because we don't have anybody watching him, bari li shalo nagati, I know for sure I didn't touch it, shechita sokshere, shechita is kosher. Chutz, and then we get to the next part of our Mishnah, chutz mecheres shote vekatan, unless it's a cheres shote vekatan who's doing it, da'afilu b'chulin gridi, di'eved nami lo, where even by regular chulin, we wouldn't have him do it, because of a concern that he'd do the shechita improperly. Shema yishu, shema yidrasu, shema yachlidu, we have five psulim in shechita, those who saw my introductory sheet that I gave out last week, we'll remember that. So these three types of psulim, you can't tell unless you're watching the shechita. Shehiya is pausing while you're doing the shechita. Drasa is pressing down on the trachea and the esophagus as you cut them. And chalada is if you poke the knife in, you insert the knife in, tunneling it in between the simanim, and you cut that way, instead of cutting straight into the simanim. No one after the fact can diagnose what was done. You have to see the shechita to know it was no good. The other ones, ikor, pulling at the simanim, Tosus discusses this a little bit, you can tell. And hagrama, if you cut beyond the cartilage rings, you for sure can tell when you look at it. So the point is, I'm concerned for these three psulim with them, therefore they don't do even regular shechita, let alone this shechita when they're tamei. So that's the idea. That's our first three steps. We have to get four steps. But the idea is, anybody can shecht, even if he's tamei by chulin. He's not supposed to shecht kudshim. If he shechted and said he didn't touch it, it's okay. But not a chereshot devakatan, because they may wreck the shechita altogether. And then, v'chulin sheshechtu ahei, when our Mishnah concludes saying, and anybody who shechts the shechita is all right, if someone's watching them, what is that talking about? Ilema chereshot devakatan. If you're talking about chereshot devakatan, alakoi, you were already talking about chereshot devakatan right before that in the Mishnah. V'im shechtu mibayle, the words v'im shechtu sound like I'm introducing a new case. So, if others are watching them, it's kosher, can't be talking about Chereshot Tevakatan. So then who is it talking about? Ela HaTamei B'chulin. It's talking about the Tamei person shacked in the Chulin. Ha'amre L'chatchila Nami Shachet. But that doesn't make any sense. You said he can shacht those L'chatchila. Ve'ela HaTamei B'mukdashin. And if it's talking about Kachim, B'bari Lisagi, it's already sufficient just to have him say, oh, that's all right. I know that it was that it was okay. So the his answer is the lesse kaman din shaile. The answer is it's talking about where he's not around. We're talking about where he's not actually present for us to ask him the question. And since he's not present for us to ask him the question, if there were people there, good. If you had people there who could actually see and say, no, he did it all right, he didn't touch the meat, then we'll accept it. So that's the way that we read our Mishnah. All who shechted with others watching them to see whether the guy touched the meat or not, then it's kosher. Tosfos asks, well, wait a minute, these are mukdashin, you're in the Beis Hamikdash. It's a Rishus Harabim. Suffolk Tumah and Rishus Harabim is automatically fine. You remember that from Sota. So Tosfos says, either this isn't like a true Suffolk Tumah because he's likely to touch it, or it's by a Bama. So therefore it could be in a Rishus HaYachid. That's Tosfos' answer. So I knew you were all thinking that, so that's why I made sure to mention the Tosfos' question. So but that's the way to parse our Mishnah, to which the Gemara says, well, wait a minute. I Tumah b'mukdashin mehacha nafka. You learn from here that if a Tamei shechts kachim, it's still okay? Mehasam nafka, we learned that already from over there, from back in Zlachim. Kol ha-psulin she-shachtu shchitas in kshera. Any posel who shechts, meaning kachim, the shchita is kasher, she-shchita kshera bizarim, because shchita can be done by a zar, binashim, by women as well, notwithstanding Eldad Adani. Uba avadim, avadim can do it. Uba tmeim, that's the key line for us, a Tamei can shecht kachim. Va-filu be-kachay kachim, even high level kachim, uba vachlo yu, Tameim Nogin Babasar, as long as the tummy doesn't touch the meat. So I don't need our Mishnah to teach me that. So the Gemara offers two answers. Hacha Iker. First answer is, you're right, but the essence is coming from our discussion in our Mishnah. Hasam Aidi Detana Shar Psulim Tananami Tamei B'mukdashin. They only brought it along for the ride there, listing it with the other Psulim that were mentioned. That's one approach. The Ibayis, or if you want, Ema, I will answer you. Hasam Iker. There is the source. You're right. Zvachim is actually the source, not Chulin. The Dibbe Kachim Kai, because that was a whole Masechta devoted to Kachim. Ha'acha, Aidi, the Tana, Tamei, Bechulin, Taninami, Tamei, Bemukdashin. Here, our real point was to discuss the Chulin that were prepared on the level of Kachim. But once we mentioned that the Tamei can Shech that, we also mentioned the law regarding Tamei Shech and Kachim. But really, the essence came from their discussion. So I wanted to know, why is our Mishnah teaching me this if I have a source in Zvachim? And the answer is, either here is the Iker, or there is the Iker. But either way, we had reason to bring it up in both. One more question the Gemara asks. Hi, Tamei, the Itma B'mai. How did this person become Tamei anyway? Ilema de Itmi B'meis, if he became Tamei with Tumas Meis by touching a corpse, B'chalal Cherev Omar Rahmana, Cherev HaReyu K'chalal, Abba Tumahu. He says, I don't understand. We have a rule, we have Xeris HaKasuv, it's actually this week's Parsha, B'chalal Cherev Omar Meis, and we deduce from the phrase, Chalal Cherev, a corpse from a sword, we deduce, literally, a sword is like the Chalal. And what that means is, as Rashi explains here, that if metal touches a dead body, it becomes a viavos hatumah, and if it touches a tmei mace, a person who's tamei tumas mace, it will be an av hatumah. So therefore, av hatumahu, and litmiye lasakin va'azel sakin utamise labasar. Therefore, he, the tamei person holding the knife, makes the knife tamei, and the knife goes and makes the meat tamei. So what do you mean? Just be careful not to touch the meat. The knife is touching the meat. So why don't I worry about that concern? It isn't just the piece of metal that killed the person. It's any piece of metal which comes in contact. Ella the Itmi B'Sheretz. The Gemara gives two answers. One answer is he's Tamei Tumas Sheretz. And since he's Tamei Tumas Sheretz, that won't be communicated down to the meat. Rashi gives you a longer explanation. V'iba yizema, alternatively, la'olam did mi b'meis. I'll tell you that it's where he is tamei tumas meis. How do you do the shechita? Ukegon shabada krumis shalkana v'shachad ba. He took a reed and he checked it to make sure there were no pegimos, there were no flaws in the reed, and he used that as his shechita knife. Tesanya, as the brisa says, bakol shochten, you can check with anything, bein b'tzur, bein b'zechuches, bein b'krumis shalkana. Whether with a rock, whether with a piece of glass, or whether it was with a reed. Worth noting, Tosis points out, remember we learned in Menachos that you have to use a cleat for Shnita of Kachim. Right? We learned from Baikachas Amacheles by Avraham, you have to use a cleat to shaft Kachim. So he says, yeah, it's talking about where you actually made it into a cleat. You did something to it to turn it into a cleat. So the upshot of this, that concludes our first approach to our Mishnah, is that the structure of our Mishnah is anyone may shaft chulin, even one who is tamei may shaft chulin. One who is tamei from a sheretz or using a reed may even shecht kachim b'di'eved, so long as either somebody is watching him or he can tell you, I know for sure that I didn't touch the meat. And we'll pick up with more reads in our Mishnah, God willing. Two more.